Can we confirm that we have a quorum?
Yes, we do have a quorum.
Okay, if everybody's had an opportunity to look at the agenda, if there are no changes or corrections, can we approve it by consensus? Any objection to the agenda as published? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. We'll move to committee reports verbally. ACAT.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. ACAT met this past Monday, and we voted to endorse staff recommendations for adoption of the 2021 Core MPO meeting calendar and the safety targets. And I think that was it.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it. What's about Christopher Milton? Is he on this CAC? Do you have anybody have a report for that? And we'll go to TCC. Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The TCC met last Thursday afternoon. They had an agenda similar to today's agenda. They did endorse the proposed 2021 calendar of meetings to the board. They also endorsed the staff recommendation on the 2021 safety targets, which is to support the state adopted safety targets. And we'll have more on that later in the meeting.
Okay, what about EDFAC, Pam?
No, sir, we did not meet this month.
Okay. Mark, you back up with the executive director's report.
Thank you. I don't have anything to report that isn't going to be covered in more depth later in the meeting, except to say that we want to welcome a new staff member to the Core MPO staff, and that is Alicia Hunter. She's on the call today, so we welcome her, and she will be working closely with us as a lead transit planner, and also working closely with our Citizens Advisory Committee and some quite a few other tasks we have lined up. So we're glad to have her on board.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Now we're on to action item. First thing is we need to approve the August 26th 2020 Core MPO meeting minutes. Have everybody had an opportunity to review the minutes? Are there any corrections or changes?
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the meeting minutes as written.
Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Let's do it a little different. If there's anybody opposed to approving the minutes, would you indicate by saying no? Otherwise, it's a consensus to approve. Instead of having everybody say aye, the minutes are approved. Next is the adoption of the 2021 Core MPO meeting calendar. And Mark, do you want to talk about that?
Certainly. The meeting calendar follows the same convention that we have for the past several years. The meetings are every other month, beginning in February. This, of course, being the proposed calendar for fiscal year 2021. By convention, the Core MPO board will typically meet on the fourth Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Nothing about the pattern has changed. Preceding the MPO board meetings would be the ACAT meeting, the Advisory Committee on Accessible Transportation. Those will, by convention, happen the Monday before the Core MPO board meeting. The TCC and the CAC will happen the Thursday before The only deviations were for known holidays or events such as that. So pretty conventional calendar. All the other committees were happy with it, and we're just asking for adoption so that we can get that out there and people can get it on their schedules.
Okay, Mark. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, sorry, because Julie has to make me the presenter so that I can show the screen. Now, can you see the calendar on the screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yes, we can see it, Dakota.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So this is just a continuation of the typical meeting pattern that we've had for probably over a decade.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments on the calendar?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the calendar as proposed.
Is that a second?
This is Pamela. I'll second that.
Okay. Anybody opposed to adopting the calendar, would you indicate by saying no and identify yourself? Hearing none, and the calendar stands approved by consensus. Next is the 2021 safety targets. And Mark, you're going to talk about that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Julie, if you would please share my screen. Is everyone able to see the performance-based planning and programming slide?
No, it's a...
Oh, you're seeing the wrong screen. Let me drag it over here and see if that will work. It didn't give me the option to choose screens. Is that better?
Yeah, that's good.
That's good? Okay. The Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century Act, or MAP 21, and the subsequent Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act, also known as the FAST Act, require that all state departments of transportation and MPOs use a performance-based planning and programming approach. As part of that approach, each state DOT and MPO must adopt targets to strive for within the planning and programming process. State DOTs and MPOs are required to set targets for a variety of performance measures related to safety, state of good repair, and system performance. The Safety Performance Management Final Rule did establish five performance measures to be reported as five-year rolling averages. And let's see if I can advance my slide. There we go. Those are number of fatalities, the rate of fatalities, the number of serious injuries, the rate of serious injuries per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, and the number of non-motorized fatalities and non-motorized serious injuries. Now, typically, we have to update these every year. The state sets their targets, and then the MPO has 180 days, or up to 180 days, rather, to establish their performance targets. Now, we have two options, and we can either elect to support the state targets, or the MPO can elect to establish its own targets. The staff recommendation, and we've done this for several years now, the staff recommendation has consistently been to support the state targets, largely because it's one program. Most of our funding is flowing through the state, and we just think it makes a lot of sense to be on page with Georgia DOT with this. The 2021 state adopted targets are shown here. The number of fatalities. The target is to maintain the five-year moving average traffic fatalities under the projected 1,715 from 2017 to 2021 by December of 2021. The number of serious injuries to maintain the five-year moving average under the projected 6,407 by December 2021. To maintain the five-year moving average traffic fatalities per 100 million vehicle miles traveled under the projected 1.23 five-year moving average by December, and this is a typo, should be 2021. Serious injury rate to reduce the five-year moving average serious traffic injuries for every 100 million vehicle miles traveled under the projected 4.42 by December of 2021. And the total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries to maintain the five-year moving average, non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries under the projected 687 five-year average by December 2021. So again, the staff recommendation, which has been endorsed by the advisory committees, the TCC, the CAC, and the ACAT committee, are to accept the state-adopted targets and support those targets through the core MPO planning and programming activities.
Okay. Is there any questions or Mark on the targets? If not, it's been recommended that we adopt the state recommended targets. Is there a motion to that?
So move.
Who made the motion? Just for the minutes, so we'll know who made it.
Was it Mr. Aberson? Okay.
Is there a second?
Van Johnson, second.
Properly moved and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all opposed to adopting it, would you please indicate by saying no? So no one opposed, then we will record everybody in attendance as approving. Any objections to that? Hearing none, it's adopted. I don't have any other business. Mark, you have anything else before we go to status report?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay, on status report, fiscal year 2021 federal certification review.
Mark? I believe that's my item as well. For those who haven't been with us more than just the last few years, TMA MPOs, those are urbanized areas with a population greater than 200,000. Undergo a quadrennial certification review with our planning partners at the Federal Highway and Federal Transit Administration. The 2021 federal certification review process has already kicked off here at the staff level. We've had an initial coordination meeting with our federal planning partners and with Georgia DOT, and we have started the process. This is something that we'll be reporting back to you on over the next few months. It's basically how we get audited to make sure that we are fulfilling the federal charge and the federal requirements for metropolitan transportation planning. There will be opportunities for input through the core MPO board and the advisory committee meetings. There will also be a public meeting. As I mentioned, the process has to happen every 4 years. Our last certification review wrapped at the end of March 2017. So we will, in that vein, complete the certification review by March of next year. As I alluded, all of the usual MPO players are involved. In addition, we do an extra outreach to the general public and interest groups. Just a few words on why the process is important. The Metropolitan Transportation Planning Process is the framework by which transportation decisions are made and projects are planned, selected, and prioritized in the region. The MPO establishes a framework for collaboration. The MPOs around the country decide how a large part of the federal transportation funding is spent. And the process helps the MPO to prioritize regional needs and determine the best and most economical solution. This forms the framework for the future of the transportation system. So we, as I said, are in the early stages of the process. We began in late September. I believe our formal kickoff call is on November 2nd, but we got started a little bit early. By that point, we probably will have provided all of our planning documents for desk review. And we're working right now on a fairly extensive questionnaire of about 200 to 300 questions that cover the depth and breadth of our efforts here. Again, the formal kickoff, not till the 2nd of November, but we'll already be well underway. Actually, the site visit, I think when I put this together, we did not know, but the site visit will be about the 3rd week of January, I believe. It will include a public meeting and an informal closeout with Federal Highway FTA staff, when they'll give us their initial impressions and follow with a final report no later than March 31st, 2021. We expect that there'll be a report back to the MPO April 2021, and we look forward to a constructive process. We'll be coming back to you at the December meetings with some follow-up on progress since the last certification review, specifically the disposition of any corrective actions, recommendations, et cetera, that were made almost 4 years ago and what we've done to address those. So we look forward to continuing to feedback through the process and keep the committee apprised. And this is something we've done. I've done this about four times previously with Core MPO. Lakota has as well. Melanie Wilson, our executive director, has gone through the process in Augusta. So I think we're in good hands. They're always, there's always some new information that comes out, but we're looking forward to completing the process successfully. And that's all I have.
Okay, is there any questions of Mark on certification?
Mr. Chairman, this is James Aberson. I had one quick question for Mark.
Yes, please.
Mark, I assume they're going to do this stuff virtually. Do you have any indication that they're physically coming, or is it going to be a virtual thing?
Well, we have been talking about that. I think the expectation really at this point is that it's going to be largely virtual. And I'm looking right now at the calendar entry, the site visit. Is the 3rd week of January, as I said. It will be from the 19th through the 21st. Some these things can go faster, they can go slower, just depending on how many things the reviewers decide to sort of zero in on. It may not, I guess what I'm saying is it may not take the full 3 days. So it's possible we could wrap up on the 20th if things are going very, very smoothly. So I would expect any public meetings, whether they be virtual or possibly in person, but right now we're thinking virtual, would either be on the 19th or the 20th, probably not on the 21st. We're going to look for opportunities. There are things that we can do here in our building if we need to have people attend in person. In terms of during the renovation, the hearing room has been sort of marked off for distancing and spacing requirements. We have some shields between the seats at the dais. So we can have limited public attendance here on site, and if it's decided that that's the way to go, then we could do that. But we're kind of hanging back just to see what the situation is a little bit closer to the time.
Thank you.
Any further questions of Mark on the certification process? Okay. Hearing none, Mark, you are also scheduled to talk about the 2022 Unified Planning Work Program.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. just as we prepare for the application process for our fiscal year, for our planning grants for the next fiscal year, the process of which is already underway for our transit planning grants, we've begun to develop the fiscal year 2022 work program to support those grant applications. We're in the early stages. We probably will come back with a draft work program to try to adopt that in February. But ahead of that, we've issued a call for plans and studies. We have had pretty good success with this previously. We completed a couple of interchange studies, one at I-95 Airways Avenue, another one at I-16 and Little Neck Road Interchange. We currently have RFPs out on the street for an access management study for State Route 21. Garden City, and also for a corridor study of State Route 307 from US 17 up to the State Route 25 near the port's main gate. So those are the studies that have come up since roughly 2017. They don't have to necessarily be big studies. They could be smaller studies. There's not a whole lot of restrictions on that, but we are encouraging our members to reach out to us by the middle of November. I think we've suggested November 12th as a deadline to just make any requests or let us know what they're thinking in that regard. We'll work with them as best we can to get those incorporated into the work program, whether it's something we can do within our existing formula funds. If it's a smaller study, that would be great. If it's something a little more extensive, we are able to apply for additional funding a couple of times a year, and that's something we could explore as well. The larger studies that we have to go after discretionary funding would require a 20% local match, typically 80-20 federal money, but that's a pretty good deal for us most days. So again, we're just trying to reach out and encourage our constituents to think about what their planning needs may be, and we'll work on getting those lined up. The other thing that I wanted to just mention with regard to the 2022 work program is that to support the transit grant application, we did attach three transit planning tasks that we've gone ahead and drafted early to support the transit planning grant application. This is just for information. We're not asking for any action on those today, but just to give a preview of what we see going into the work program for the transit planning tasks that we coordinated with CAT. And that's all I have.
Any questions of Mark? On the unified planning. Okay. And next is the petitioning plan for Title VI plan update, and you got Asia Burnton.
Yes, can I share my screen?
Please.
Okay, can everyone see it?
Yes, we can see.
Okay, good. So good morning, everyone. I'm just going to give a short status report on the participation plan and Title VI update. For anyone who doesn't know what the participation plan deals with, it's basically a plan used for creating ways to engage the public with the core MPO in transportation topics. And it also creates opportunities for underserved communities to have access to core MPO and transportation information. Is the next slide visible for anyone?
It's black.
Blank. Hmm. Only seeing the first slide. Let me try.
Yeah, it's just trying to show the infographics.
Yeah, it's not showing up, but I could just continue to speak about it.
I have it on my screen. Asia, Julie, if you could share my screen instead.
Maybe yeah.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
I don't know why okay. Mine works and yours doesn't.
I don't understand.
Okay, just tell me when you advance.
Okay. So this is everyone that's working on the participation plan and Title VI update, and we're all just kind of collaborating to bring a variety of ideas to the table, especially now given the current situation with COVID-19 and how a lot of public outreach efforts have been derailed since we can't do a lot of in-person public outreach. Can you advance to the next slide? One of the basic things that we're doing with this update is replacing outdated info and language. So any population changes, demographic changes, or any general changes will be added to this plan. And we're also putting a heavy focus on COVID-19 and how it will affect public outreach in the future. Next slide. So one area of focus that we're exploring a lot more is social media, and that's because it presents a great opportunity to reach a larger, a lot more people in a much larger audience. It's also very common for many governments and organizations to live stream their meetings on social media platforms like Facebook and YouTube. So basically the infrastructure for live streaming meetings like this exists and can probably easily be done for meetings in the future. Another opportunity that is open to us through social media is Q&As. So we can safely do online live Q&As and create a real back and forth dialogue with the public. And we can also keep people more easily informed by creating email lists, and we can send them newsletters, updates, reminders, and other important information. Can we go to the next slide? Another thing that we're discussing a lot is using visuals to increase interest and understanding in transportation and core MPO topics. So one of the benefits of infographics is that they're very visual. And I have an example on the right side of this slide. But they also include text. So they're visual enough to be eye-catching, but they're informative enough to give people a general understanding of what transportation projects are currently happening. So we are in the future trying to create more infographics that summarize meetings, important topics, and ongoing transportation projects. Next slide, please. Thank you. Another area that we want to work on is language. So the general public probably won't know specific transportation language and terms. So we want to clearly define these terms in a way that people can understand. And we also want the public to know the processes of the core MPO and transportation projects. So we want people to know how the planning process occurs, where funding is coming from, and how much funding is being put toward projects. We want them to know what parties are involved in these projects, just to give people a base knowledge of what's going on in their community. Next slide, please. We also want to make this content accessible to people with disabilities. So one method that we are talking about is providing sign language translations of meetings and plans. And we actually did this at the last ACAP meeting this Monday. And so it was really helpful in making that meeting accessible to people that are deaf or low hearing. We also want to provide audio summaries so blind and low vision people can access this information. And we also want to collaborate with local organizations to learn the specific needs of disabled people and how we can get these valuable resources to them. Next slide, please. Another thing that we want to do is reach underserved communities. So there are a lot of underserved communities that may have less access to this information, especially given the fact that not everyone has access to the internet and online resources. So to remedy this, we want to provide printed summaries and infographics that can be directly given to communities that may not have access to internet, and also nursing homes and elderly communities. And we also want to provide translated meetings and translated summaries for people who speak Spanish. Next slide, please. So this is just a short timeline for the project. We are aiming to get the first draft completed by next Friday on the 30th, and to receive comments from federal and state government organizations on November 30th. And part of this plan involves a 45-day public comment and review period, and that's just basically where the public can give their input and their opinions on the participation plan. And that is going to take place between January 5th, 2021 to February 18th, 2021. And we are aiming for an adoption date by the core MPO on February 24th, 2021. And that is it for this presentation. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
Any questions for you? Comments? Okay. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Mark, for sharing your screen.
The next is the 2021-2024 CHIP development, and Ms. Wang is going to talk. Wang is going to talk about this.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. As you know, that our current TIP will expire on June 30th of next year, so we need to develop a new TIP, which covers fiscal 2021 to 2024. If you remember, at the August meeting, we adopted the TIP prioritization methodology, and I showed you the priority rankings for Z230 funds, Z30 funds, and HIP funds. And after that, TCC had a special call meeting to allocate those three funding sources to the high priority projects. And then after that, based on the TCC recommendations, we developed the draft, preliminary draft, the TIP, also attached to your calendar. And it's a very big document. It's about 116 pages. So you can say it covers the both highway transit section. So you can say this is a very big document. And we send the preliminary draft document to Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, and GDOT for comments. And the comments are due by the end of this week.
So far, I have received comments from Federal Highway Administration, and FTA sending a message yesterday indicating that they don't have any comments, and GDOT indicating they will send me the comments probably by the end of tomorrow. So after that, we will just incorporate their comments into this document and then have a revised draft. And another development is after I developed this preliminary draft TIP, several issues came up. One is Garden City didn't get the lab certified. So the funds that we programmed on Garden City probably will have to be pulled at this time until Garden City gets lab certified. So that will be reflected, this change will be reflected in the revised draft TIP. Another development is a project during has a scheduled delay, but we were trying to work out the schedule. So probably keep the Z230 funds in fiscal 2021 for Project Durain, while the City of Savannah and the GDOT Planning Director coordinate on how to move that funds with the project to fiscal 2022. So we are still targeting for December adoption of the TIP. So after I get all the comments from GDOT tomorrow, and then incorporate all the comments and then incorporate the changes that I just outlined to you. So I will have the revised draft TIP ready for the public review early next month. So we will have the 30-day public review and comment period from early November to early December. And then you will have the revised draft to review in December at the December meeting. And so in December, we will ask for the board adoption and the advisory committee's endorsement of the revised TIP. That's it. Any questions?
Questions for Wycola? Hearing none, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate it. Next, we have the informational reports. First up is GDOT.
That's I think Troy is going to do the presentation on this. I will control the slides, so just let me know.
Okay. Troy Pittman, you on?
Yeah.
I can see the slides, but I don't hear Troy.
Troy, we cannot hear you.
Probably like me, forgot to turn his mic on.
He's unmuted.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm having issues with my headset, so bear with me because I'm talking to the computer. Starting with the pre-construction status report, project one, the Geechee Road, a widening from Lyons Parkway to Victory Drive. Our environmental activities are at 60%. Our final plans are at 50%, and our right-of-way acquisition activities are also at 50%. For project two, the FNM Parkway, our environmental activities are 90%, and our final plans are 90%, and our right-of-way acquisition is wrapping up, and we hope to have it certified by next month. Project three, which is the Bull River, Lazaretta Creek, and Causeway widening project. This project's actually been split up into three separate PI numbers. The next report will reflect that, but we have a PI number for the Bull River Bridge, one for the Lazaretta, and one for the Lazaretta Creek. One for the causeway itself. These schedules are currently under review, and we hope to have them approved by November. Project four, which is the Brampton Road Connector, our environmental activities are 80%. Our final plans are 50%, and our right-of-way acquisition activities are also at 50%. Jumping down to project six and seven, the I-95 interchange reconstruction, I-16 widening from I-95 to I-516. Of course, these are both design build projects. The environmental activities are 85%. Final plans are 85%. And of course, with design build, some of the construction activities have started both at the interchange and on I-16. The I-16 at 307 operational improvement project. This is also another design build project. Our environmental activities are at 10%. And the right-of-way has been certified and the project's been let to a design build consultant back in June. Projects 9 and 10 go together. These are also design build projects. The Savannah River, or the bridge replacement at Savannah River in Point Whitworth, and the Middle River bridge replacement. Both of these projects have environmental activities at 75% and preliminary plans are 90%. Moving down to project 14. This is I-16 at Chatham Parkway Operational Improvement Project. This project's at 18% environmental activities and 20% preliminary plans. And projects 15 and 16, they go together. Excuse me. State Route 21 at State Route 30 operational improvements, and State Route 21 from I-95 to State Route 30 operational improvements. One project still has some environmental activities to complete, and both projects are at 70% complete on final plans. So moving to active projects. For projects 1 and 2, there hasn't been a status up change or change since our last report. So moving down to project 3, State Route 144 widening project is roughly 70% complete, and we're still expecting a fall 2020 completion. Project 4, State Route 25 at Pipe Makers Canal Bridge Replacement. This project is essentially complete. It's been open to traffic for a while. We're just wrapping up some corrective list items. Project 5, State Route 144 and I-95 southbound and northbound off ramps, the roundabouts. This project is approximately 30% complete, and we're expecting a spring 2021 completion. Project 6, 10 miles of milling and resurfacing on State Route 25, US 17 from Bryan Cham County line to I-516. We're reporting 10% completion at this time, and we are expecting a spring 2021 completion. And jumping down to Project 9, which is 3 miles of milling and resurfacing on State Route 30 from the F&M Cham County line to west of State Route 21. This project is approximately 95% complete, and we are expecting a spring 2021 completion. Pending any questions, that's all I have.
Any questions for Troy? We don't have any questions. Next is Chatham County project report. Pamela Bernard, you're going to give the report.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Hi. So the pre-construction projects, Quokka Road widening, the right-of-way, they've almost finished acquiring all the right-of-way. So that project should follow right behind completion of the intersection project, and that'll be in the spring of 21. State Route 21 at Pipe Makers Canal, that one should go out to bid before the end of this year. So we should see construction starting early next year. Little Neck Road, the plans are pretty much complete, mostly just waiting on right of way at this point. So it'll be sometime next year when we have that acquired that we'll be able to get that started. Skidaway Road, at this point, more than likely that's going to be changed to just a signal and intersection improvement project. That's something that we can probably get done, and we should need a minimal amount right away for that. And that should take place maybe 21 sometime, probably later in the year. Islands Expressway and Wall Tower Slopes, those are both, the design is probably 75% complete, and then there's also permitting that's needed there. For the projects under construction, both Truman Linear Trail Phase 2A and Benton Boulevard are close to completion. Both should be open. As far as I know, the trail is actually already open to the public, but I'm not sure. I think there's an official ribbon cutting for that one. I'm not sure exactly when that is. It should be soon. Benton Boulevard will probably be open to traffic somewhere around the end of October or beginning of November. And Quakawett 17, again, that one should be done in spring of 21. Are there any questions about any of those projects? Just another side note on Benton Boulevard is we're hoping to have the signal at Highlands and Benton operational sometime next week.
Okay. Any questions of Pam? Hearing none, thank you, Pam.
Yes, sir.
Next is the City of Savannah. Mayor Johnson, anyone?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody. Heath Lloyd is going to deliver the report for the City of Savannah this morning. Mr. Lloyd.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I want to go over a report for three projects really quick. Truman Linear Park Trail 2B. You have it in front of you if you're looking at a screen, but the right-of-way plans have been submitted to Georgia DOT, and we are waiting for their comments. We're also waiting for the completion of their history review so that we can have a full environmental review completed. The Wren Avenue widening, and I want to take special note here to point out an error in what you're probably seeing on your screen. The PIOH, or the Public Information Open House, is scheduled for November 10th. Your screen will probably say November 11th. That is an error. It is November the 10th, 2020. We're also working on the relocation assistance plan. The coordination efforts are going very well, and they will continue to move forward, but that is going very well. The final project is the widening along the Lesseps. The construction funds have been authorized, and letting is scheduled for that project on November, specifically what you see in front of you is November 20th, 2020, but it is certainly scheduled for November of this year. That concludes the report from the City of Savannah. I'll entertain any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions? Hearing none, thanks for the report. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next is Chatham Area Transit Authority.
It's Brent Dice, I think. Brent, are you on?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Lakota and Mr. Chairman, and good morning. Our status update is as follows. Our electric bus purchase is moving forward. We're expecting those buses to arrive within 60 to 90 days. So I'm saying winter, which we know we don't really have here in Savannah, but the facilities rehab interior project is for both the CAT Central building and ITC locations, and that is in planning process. Our ITS has been awarded, and we hope to see that soon. We know we've had a ferry boat maintenance facility and ferry dock project from 5307 funds. That's got this section 106 review in progress with SHPO, and we are moving forward with architecture and engineering. As for the ferry boat rehab, we're also moving forward on that with the Susie King Taylor, and that's also in progress with the architecture and engineering. We had a change order and are getting that back from our engineers. Our support vehicles, we're moving forward on that project, purchase project, and that will be completed in FY21, as well bus stations, stops, and terminals. We've got several upgrades there. And our operator barriers, which are, you know, keeping the bus driver and the passengers safer, and came through our CARES Act funding. The paratransit barriers are all installed, and a good portion of the fixed route barriers are installed, and we're excited about that project being close to completion. That's it for us. Thank you.
Any questions of Brent? Thank you. Mark, is the Chatham County sea level rise study?
That's going to be Courtney.
Courtney, yeah.
Courtney's going to talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good morning, Chairman and Board and staff. I want to thank you for allowing me to talk to you about this project today. Of course, Courtney Reich, I work with Goodwin Mills and Kaywood, and we were a consultant to the county on this project. People see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah, we can see it.
Format. Okay. So this project was funded through a coastal incentive grant that was awarded to the county by the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Coastal Resources Division. It started in October of 2018, and we just wrapped up phase one on September 30th. Chatham County Engineering Department was the actual grant manager, but there were many partners that were involved in this project, including the City of Savannah, Stetson University, and the Coastal Georgia Community Rating System Users Group. The goals of the project were to assess sea level rise on stormwater infrastructure in the county and the City of Savannah, as well as critical facilities associated with that stormwater infrastructure, and also to perform this study in a way that would provide additional CRS or Community Rating System credits. For the that aren't familiar with that program, it is a program sponsored by FEMA. It's voluntary, and communities can participate in it to lower flood risk in their communities and also lower flood insurance premiums. To this work, based on the results of the sea level rise modeling and infrastructure, stormwater infrastructure modeling, we applied management practices to address those vulnerable drainage systems, and to update the capital improvement program for drainage projects to update that process. Sea level rise has been documented here locally. Many of you might be familiar with this Fort Pulaski tide gauge, and this is the data going all the way back to 1930 showing the rate of sea level rise here locally. It's been approximately 1 foot rise over the course of the last 100 years. Rates are increasing here at Chatham County and also globally. There's many different projections. You can see some of those projections here overlaid with the actual tide gauge data from Fort Pulaski. So as part of this project, we as a group, sorry, let me just get all these bullet points up there. We as a group had to decide what projections we wanted to use that we felt were relevant to this study. We looked at several planning scenarios or planning horizons based on infrastructure lifespan, since this is primarily an infrastructure project and looking at drainage impacts to drainage infrastructure. And we also needed to use the sea level rise projections that would correspond with the CRS program. As I mentioned before, we were attempting to perform the study in accordance with their requirements. So the projection that we used was for a sea level rise of just around 4 feet by 2100. It's a really simple graphic just to show what we mean when we say sea level rise impacts on the stormwater drainage system. So you have drainage outfalls that are draining the land. When sea levels rise, or when the tide rises, as we'll see this weekend, we're going to have very high tides this weekend, that water can come back up the drainage system and cause flooding. And I'm sure that most people here have seen some level of high tide flooding here locally. Rain events, during those high tide events, it can really create a much worse flooding problem. We wanted to identify through our modeling effort where those locations are now and where they will likely be in the future. This just shows an example from Tybee of that type of high tide flooding. And you can imagine that if you had a rain event while this high tide was happening, how much worse that flooding event might become. The model conducted by Dr. Evans at Stetson University, he spoke last week to the TAC about this project. And there's really some critical elevations that we needed to evaluate within the stormwater system, and that's where the tide would impact the outlets or the pipe flooding, the outfalls, and also where it would impact top of structure, where it would be coming back up through inlets in the system. So maps just showing what the results of Dr. Evans' model indicate. This is impacted drainage structures right now in 2020. And HAT stands for highest astronomical tide, or the highest tide you're going to get in any given year. Those dots in red are impacted structures right now that can be impacted by those extreme high tide events. How they would be affected in 2100. This just shows the numbers themselves of the number of structures impacted now during these high tide events, and the number, how that would increase to 2100. Approximately half of the outfall structures being impacted now, where that would impact the ability of the drainage system to drain during rain events. And then it goes up to over 80% in 2100. Also looked at City of Savannah. Because City of Savannah is located in some of the highest areas in the county, you can see that there's less of the infrastructure is impacted by high tides now and what they would be with sea level rise in the future. But still, you know, having approximately 28% of headwalls or outfalls impacted in Savannah would certainly cause some issues in 2100 as well. This is a graphic showing the structures impacted in the City of Savannah in 2100. These are the manholes that are impacted. You can see the inlets that would be impacted, and of course the headwalls. And you can see here on this slide that a lot of those headwalls or outfalls lie along canals that have pump stations. City of Savannah's drainage system is unique in that it has these pump stations that allow for drainage allow for the drainage system to function during high water events. So we did look at those pump stations to identify which of those might be impacted by future projected sea level rise. And right now, the one pump station that was identified as having the most critical need for upgrades was the Caton. The model estimates that there would be annual impacts to this tide pump station by 2045 that would impact its ability to drain during high water, high tide events. We looked at both the City of Savannah and Chatham County's current drainage capital improvement projects and where those projects intersected with areas that would be impacted by sea level rise over the course of the planning horizon, which is 2020 through 2100. And you can see those identified here on this map. The study, when completed, or at least phase one that was just recently completed, had four major recommendations, including rise projections as part of the design consideration when designing drainage CIP and other critical facilities, looking at sea level rise projections and understanding how these structures might be impacted now, but also in the future. Also identifying hotspots of rainfall-induced flooding and tidal flow and installing green infrastructure upstream of those, understanding that when the tide is high, there's not a lot of room for stormwater to drain. So if we can infiltrate some of that water upstream of these areas through green infrastructure practices, we might be able to reduce that type of high tide flooding. recommend that the city and the county continue to participate in the Georgia Tech Smart Sea Level Rise Sensors Project, which is installing tide gauges throughout the county to understand local impacts of sea level rise. And then, of course, making planning for upgrading stormwater pump stations as needed in the future to maintain functioning at those higher tidewater elevations. So, like I said, we just completed phase one of this project, and the Georgia Coastal Resources Division was kind enough to fund a phase two of this project. Phase two will include identifying these areas and opportunities for installation of green infrastructure to reduce high tide flooding. And we'll also, which is probably more relevant to this group here, fund a roadway vulnerability analysis, which is entering the roadway elevation data for major thoroughfares throughout the county into the model that was created during phase one to understand where sea level may impact these roadways over the course of that planning horizon. And then also to develop a best practices document for tide gate maintenance, because tide gates being one of the best management practices that could address that high tide inflow back into the drainage system and retain capacity in that drainage system. So that completes the presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions that people might have.
Any questions of Courtney?
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. Courtney, I just want this is Alderman Nick Palumbo. I just wanted to thank you for your presentation and outlining this. This is something that every municipality in Chatham County and our unincorporated residents face as well, to the tune of billions of dollars into our future. That all coastal communities throughout the country and the world are having to experience. So I really appreciate any effort that we can put behind this, because I know we have to deal with it sooner or later. It's not an if, but a when. And I thank you for your effort here.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the sea level rise study? Okay. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Next, an update from the airport. George, are you on? Savannah Airport Commission. Okay. Tybee, City Manager Sean Gillen, are you on?
He's not.
Anything from Tybee?
I don't see anybody from Tybee.
Okay. Garden City? Rob?
I don't believe Ron could make it today.
Yeah, I don't think Ron is here.
Okay. Pooler. Is the mayor pro tem or the mayor's on?
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Hutcherson, mayor pro tem. Have nothing to report for Pooler.
Okay, Tom. Thank you for being here. Effingham. Teresa, are you on?
Teresa's on.
I'm on. There's nothing new to report from Effingham.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone from Richmond Hill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Scott Allison, Assistant City Manager. Troy covered most of our items in his report, but I did want to note that we've got two projects that folks may see as they come down I-95 in our area. That were not listed. The new interchange at exit 82 at Belfast Keller Road looks like it's on track for an end of year, beginning of 2021 completion. It's going to be a great addition for us. And also, the city is currently constructing a road connecting Belfast Keller to another major arterial to get people to and from that interchange area. that is looking to be on track for an early December opening as well. And that's all I have for an update.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. What about Liberty County Consolidated Planning Commission? Jeff, are you on?
I don't think Jeff is attending today.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeff is not.
Hampo or Lats, anybody representing that?
Stephanie.
Hi,
Stephanie's here.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Stephanie.
All right, so just a quick update on US 17. As I mentioned at the last meeting, that the project was let in August. They did award the contract to a Savannah firm, RB Baker Construction. The completion date for the widening project is estimated to be September 30th, 2025. And the low bid amount was $41.9 million. That's all.
I got to get used to you wearing the other hat, Stephanie.
Yeah, yeah, you and me both.
Okay. It's
been a rough ride.
All right. Anybody have any questions for Stephanie concerning the widening of 17 on the other side of the river? Hearing none?
I just was wondering if I could get a copy of that, please. This is Pam.
Pam, you want this? It's posted on the core. If you, it's posted, okay, with the agenda. So you click on that item. That it's attached.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody on from the public that have any comments before we move to announcements? Okay, no public. Mark, you have any announcement besides the next core meeting being December the 9th, 10 o'clock? It will be virtual as well?
No further announcements.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Good morning. This is Dr. Shabazz. I want to just give a thank you and a shout out to the Project Eren, which we know that the name is Project Eren. Our assistant city manager from the city of Savannah has already stated the activity, which is going to be a meeting, the meeting in reference to the draft environmental impact statement, which is already been done. And as we move forward, I just want to thank Mrs. Melanie Wilson from MPC, along with all of her staff. I'd like to thank the MPO and all of you and all who has worked with DOT, from DOT, and been in contact with the Federal Highway Administration in reference to moving Project Duren to this point of actually having the public come in to a meeting and having a substantial and real timeline to where, you know, the public has been waiting for almost 20, 25 years on this type of movement. So I just wanted to tell everybody, thank you so much from the community for Project Eren and where it is right now as we move forward. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Melanie Wilson, you on? You
yes,
have any?
Yes, sir. If I may, I just wanted to make another announcement. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to also let you all know that we have been awarded a grant from the to form the Coastal Empire Resilience Network. So it's called CERN, and we will be reaching out to you all as well as our local partners to work on creating a Coastal Empire Resilience Network, which I think we all will agree is needed. This will allow us to continue to work to coordinate strategies to address issues that stem from that, as well as participate in developing an educational program for local and other elected officials, as well as the citizens, to talk more about what we can do as a region to become a more resilient community. So I just wanted to let you know that we were awarded that grant. We will start working on, we have started working on this, and unfortunately COVID has made it a little bit more difficult to reach out to some of you, but we will do that, especially as we get rolling in the upcoming year. The grant started on October the 1st, so I wanted to let you all know that we are still continuing to work on resiliency and make it a part of the Savannah, Chatham, and regional discussion.
Okay. Any questions of Melanie concerning that MPC grant?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I just got some information from our assistant. George Fiddler is on, but he cannot speak, so he's calling the administrative assistant, so he's on the phone.
Okay.
He would like to give a report, and he'll speak to me, and I will tell you what he's saying, if that's okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, update. Go ahead, Mark. First thing he said was correction for the minutes. It says terminal expansion was completed, and that was supposed to be terminal ramp expansion.
Terminal ramp?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The terminal expansion is on hold because the traffic has dropped off.
Okay.
Okay, what else?
Anything else from the airport?
Yes, he's still speaking. Hold on.
Okay. All right.
The federal inspection services is complete.
Okay.
And in use, so they can now accept foreign plane international traffic.
Okay.
And he says that's it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for providing
that. Thank you, George.
Thank you. Does anybody else have anything? Mayor Johnson, are you still on?
Mr. Chairman, I am.
Would you please give me a call?
I will.
Right. Thank you. Is there anything else? Hearing none, if there's nothing else for the Corimpio meeting, we will now stand adjourned. Look forward to seeing you on December 9th, or hearing you on December the 9th. Meeting's adjourned.